Spirit of God has been really dealing with us on this idea of identity, because identity is a huge deal today in this day and age. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how old you are. You are a byproduct of the environment you grew up in. And if we can't take the time to go backwards to see why we are the way we are today, we will stay stuck and not do the necessary work to allow the Holy Spirit to get us out of what we're stuck in. What you do today is a direct result of either what was done to you or what you caught growing up. I don't care what household you grew up in. I don't care if you're Italian, if you're Croatian, you're Greek, you're Orthodox, whatever it is, what you saw growing up and you caught growing up, you do today, whether you realize it or not. Have you ever been in a situation where you say before, oh my God, I just did what my dad did? Okay? And those things have a way of staying on you. And not all of them are good. They're not all good. That's why when we talk about catching something, it's easier to catch something. And so you, God's got to go to work in your life, because some of the things that you catch just aren't good for you. They're not good. Today, as a nation, we are dealing with things that kids caught when they were little. But now that they're adults, they're ruling as infants because of their deficiency of how they grew up emotionally, psychologically, even spiritually when it comes to foundation. This nation is not a Christian nation. I don't care what you say. It is not a Christian nation. People go in and say, well, this Christian nation, really? Church attendance is about 1.8 every month. The name of Jesus is being struck. Nonprofits are under attack, especially if you're a church. Churches are being squeezed. They're being squeezed financially. They're being persecuted for their beliefs, all because people are acting as children and they're not standing on the truth of God's word and the foundation of what is. This is not one nation under God. I hate to break it to you, it's not. What you see in leadership of this country is not a result of a firm foundation. The book of Proverbs says this: righteousness exalts a nation, but sin condemns any people. So if you want to see a nation be exalted, there has to be an element of righteousness that's in place. If righteousness and justice are the foundation of God's throne and everything he does is based upon that, then as a nation, if we want to be blessed, that foundation has to be our foundation. If it is not, then we will sink in sand that is fleeting, and we will get involved in things like the woke culture or the cancel culture because we think that we know better than God and that our ideology is better than God's ideology. And we begin to make up things because we think we can. And this says sin condemns people. This nation is under a curse right now. If you can argue with me and say, well, it is under a curse right now. The nation is not going in the right direction. You can see that it's not going in the right direction. It's under a curse because leadership does not honor who God is. And so when you don't honor who God is, God's blessing and his hand begins to be removed. Not fully, because God is a God of grace and mercy. But his hand is not as proactive probably as it should be. But I also want you to think from a standpoint of this way. At the same time, God allows things in order to enhance his purpose. So if you are praying that God restores this nation back to its glory, is that God's will? Is that God's perfect will? Because if it means that the nation has to go down a course in order to usher in God, are you okay with it going down a course that does not bless you, quote unquote, in the long run and lift you up into a status of where you think you need to be? Are you okay with persecution coming in? Are you okay with a little bit of stress and tension? Are you okay with a little bit of squeeze so that Jesus can be revealed? Because he says, well, I'm lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Guess what's happening right now? Governments are being pulled down. Ideologies are being pulled down. And in the midst of that, Jesus is rising. Because in the end, there has to be one focal point, and that's Jesus, not you. I don't care if it's in the medical field, healthcare, the financial system, governments. If you have a keen ear to hear what the Spirit is saying and you have eyes to see, you can see that it's all being set up and being moved toward a one world government and one world currency, because he is ushering in the end times. And so if you are about God's business, you have a mind to keep your hand to the plow and not look backwards, and continue to sow and continue to do what God has asked you to do, because you know that the time's coming where he's coming to get his kids. And so your prayer needs to be, Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not my will, but your will. That means that we have to get out of the way and allow God to do what he wants to do. So we can pray all we want. Lord, keep stuff away from this nation. Stuff's already in the nation. You can't fix it. I'm going to vote it out. Okay. God will keep who he needs to keep where? Until he's done with his ultimate purpose. And this is important, especially as we go into this season and this election season. I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to say it again. Don't get caught up in the race baiting. Don't get caught up in the cycle. Don't get caught up in this political insanity. Don't get caught up in party politics. Get caught up in what Jesus is doing and see with eyes of faith and to know that, Lord, whoever you got coming in, I'm praising you. Whoever you're taking out, I'm praising you. Because in the end, I want to see you. I could care less if Mickey Mouse is sitting at the White House, but I want to see you. If Mickey Mouse and you have a relationship, I want to see you and hear what he has to say. And so we have to get past this ideology. We've got to get past it. And I think the Lord's tired of it. We got to get past this systematic racism. You got to get past race baiting. You got to get past, well, they hate me because I'm white. You're hated just because, number one, people have already an idea and they've already stereotyped you because of A, B, and C. You can't make people like you. You can't make people hate you. The Bible says that, number one, the king's heart is in the Lord's hand. And he moves it any way that he wants it to be moved. So God can make him like you. God can make him hate you, all for his purpose. If liking you brings you into a place of influence and favor, praise God. If hating you enhances God's purpose and moves you closer to him, praise God. Praise God. It doesn't matter. If you get the job, great. If you don't, great. So we're praying, James, for God's favor. This needs to be the prayer of the body in these times. Lord, open doors of opportunity every single day, because I know that I'm your kid and that you've given me favor. And because I have favor with you, I'm going to be placed in positions of influence to affect the kingdom because I'm your kid. And honestly, you want to show me off. You don't think that. A lot of people don't think that. Well, God wants to show his kids off. Are you showable? And some of y'all may be in that situation right now. I feel like I'm being looked over, I'm hidden. It's probably for a reason. Because if God would show you now, it would probably kill you because your character's not right. Why would God want to put his kids in position? Don't you think God looks down and says, I've had enough of the misrepresentation. With you, I'm going to take my time. Because when I do show you, I want you to stay seen. What does it matter if God shows you something, you go into it, you fall, now God's got to take you back in the wilderness so that you can heal, so that then eventually he can reveal you again. I'm going to say this, and you can disagree or not disagree with me. Once a minister, once a person who is a leader in the Christian world falls, they are never the same again. Never. Never. I don't care. God restores them to a place. The position of influence is never the same because it'll always be tainted by the fall. So if you are looking for positions of influence, your prayer needs to be, Lord, hide me until I'm ready to be seen. So that when I am seen, I have enough of you inside of me that I can hold what you have. I can take the blessing. I can take the cursing. I can take the beating. I can take the persecution because I'm built to hold it. Don't let me do it until I'm ready. And God will take you up in that offer. He'll keep you around in the wilderness till things are stripped off. And simply, for some, it's a matter of you're just not strong enough yet. It doesn't mean you won't be. You're just not strong enough yet. But through the hardship and the trials, God's building something inside of you. A tenacity and a faith that says, no, though he slay me, I'm still going to follow. Though I'm crying, I'm still going to do it. Though it doesn't make sense, I'm still going to trust him. Though I have no idea what I may be doing in this season, Lord, you're going to give me the wisdom to be able to do it. Thank you, Lord, that even when I can't see, you see. Even when I don't know what to do, you know what to do. All those things God begins to work out in your life so that when the time comes, God will bring you before great people of influence so that you can be seen. Until then, there'll be a veil and it'll be shut until God says, peekaboo, there you go. That's the way it is. Righteousness exalts a nation. Are you living a righteous life? If you can't pinpoint that there are areas of my life that I am righteously living, why would God show you? If you go to a car dealership, they don't place the ugliest cars in the window. Those are in the back lot. Just in case you can't afford the $5,000 a month payment, they go and say, oh, but you know, we do have the ones in the back. Show me those. They don't show you those. In the window are the nice cars because it's something that draws you in. God does the same thing with his kids. I remember when I was in that dating scene, and everyone in here at some point or another, if you have not, you will be in this process, and where you were getting ready and God was bringing me into a relationship. All those other ladies had fallen by the wayside, and God said, now it's time for me and you to go to work, because I knew the next one that I got involved with, I was going to marry. And during that time, God was doing a work in my life and pulling stuff out and doing things in me and shut everybody else out. And there were other women who would come up, and it was okay for them, but it wasn't right. You just know, God shut it down. It wasn't right. The veil was there. Until eventually, Misty came in, and if you don't know our story, it's a pretty powerful story. And I don't have time to tell it today, you can ask her. But when Misty came in, I didn't particularly want to date Misty, but Misty knew that she was going to marry me. Later, just find out about this story. It's weird, but it's good, okay? But when I saw that it was okay, and God lifted the veil, because the inner man, there was no check, and God said, it's okay. It opened the door of the opportunity for me to walk in and be blessed. But it wasn't until I saw her that God said, it's right. In the years prior, no. Why am I telling you this? Because God will keep what he has for you until the time is right. And when the time is right, God will say, now it's there. So I don't care what it is. It's a job. It's a promotion. God said, I'll have it in holding until the time is right, and then you'll see it. But when you see it, go for it. When you see it, go for it. Don't play around with it. Go for it. We're looking for God to do things, and when God does things, sometimes we get hesitant because our emotional health isn't where it's supposed to be. And what we do is we hesitate because we don't think that it's what God has for us. It's not his best, because for some of us, we've been through a lot of years. It's been such a season of hardship. Sometimes it's hard to realize when we're out of it. And finally, you get out of it and God wakes you up and says, hey, you survived it. I'm going to bless you now. Move in. Doors and opportunities. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. Doors and opportunities. That's what God's bringing into your life. You have to open the door. God brings it. You open it. You may not like what's behind the door, but nevertheless, it could be the door that God wants to use to bless you and open up other doors. You're looking for the expensive car, and God says, no, that's not, you can't afford that car. You can't afford that one. This is yours. This is yours. Driving this now will allow you the ability to drive this one later. It's a small door. Go through this one, and it'll open bigger doors. Are you looking for the big door? And God said, it's a little one. Remember Alice in Wonderland? That little door? That's the door. You got to look at the little ones. Because God said you can be faithful there. I'll promote you into bigger levels of responsibility. But if I can't do that faithfully, God won't be able to trust us with the other stuff. Because he's perfecting your righteousness here. Why would God give you a position of blessing if your righteousness isn't where it really needs to be? Because at the moment of temptation, you're going to crack. Too many people, they're cracking. And they're cracking because they have identity issues. They don't know where their real identity lies. You don't think so? Just keep watching. Keep watching. The other day, I ran into somebody, and it was a younger kid. And I looked at this kid. This kid was a teenager. And I said, I had to look twice. Struggling with identity. Was a boy, but was dealing with other tendencies. And my heart broke for him because I'm looking at him, and the first thing I said to myself is, where are the parents? What are you fostering in your home that promotes this type of license? And a lot of times we forget to look at that because parents, kids are in your home, they're your responsibility. They're not, the school does not raise your kids, by the way. You raise your kids. So if the school is telling you that it's okay for them not to tell you when they want to, like, change, you got to interrupt that process and say, excuse me, no, I'm the parent in the house. But the problem we have today is that parents aren't interrupting the process. They're just allowing it to happen. Some are starting to. But I just want to encourage you to get in your business of your kids so that you can understand what they're doing, what they're feeling, and what's going on in their head. Because the enemy would like nothing more than to twist and to drive the knife of abandonment and rejection so that they can pull away and all of a sudden begin to think about, you know, it might be okay if I change. What if I was a boy? Maybe being a girl would be better. An enemy takes those thoughts and he twists them. And because the root system isn't where it's supposed to be and there's not a firm foundation, they act on the thought. The thought is not the sin. We all have them. What you do with the thought leads to sin. And as a result, that sin leads to death. And that death is what a lot of people are experiencing today when we talk about identification. People are not experiencing the life that Christ died to give them and real identity in Christ. It's a counterfeit identity, and they're hiding behind who they really are, thinking that if they change, it'll heal the pain and they'll come into who they really are. But they're believing a lie. And the lie says that if you change, you'll be accepted. If you don't know that you're accepted now, no amount of makeup, no amount of surgery is going to change the way you feel on the inside. You're going to keep going around in this process trying to fix stuff. I hate the way the hair grows in my head. I hate it. I've got several thick patches. If the Lord could just connect those things, I would look fantastic. But it doesn't work that way. So now I have to shave the whole thing. Thank God I have a good bald head. And if we didn't, we'd be in trouble. I'd be wearing hats. You'd be seeing me doing the comb over. I'd have some things going on up here. Why is he wearing dreads? I'd have some stuff. Stuff would be happening in my head. But I have to accept the fact that that doesn't change me. I just got to work with what I got. Okay? I can't fix it. I can't grow long hair and change my name to Rochelle and be like, hey, I just have to work that way for me. I have to come to grips with the fact that I'm a man. I got the parts. This is who I am. I rejoice in the fact that God has given me strength and that God has given me identity, that I have purpose in him. Thank you, Jesus. Do I have deficit? Absolutely. But I have to accept it. I got to accept it. I don't go to change my whole identity. Because my foundation is where it needs to be. The Lord knows. We've had talks. But at some point, you just accept what you've been given. And that's the problem. People are not accepting the grace they've been given. This is your grace. Operate in that grace. Don't try to change what God has already created and said it was good. How can you change if God said it's good and you just say, no, it's not good, I'm going to change it? What do you think is going to happen? There's going to be conflict and confusion that's going to follow you all the days of your life. Because you're going to struggle with what you think is good and what God thinks is good. If I didn't think that being married to a woman was good, we'd have a problem. A real problem. I wouldn't be up here anymore. But it's good. And we've got to get, Maria, we got to get to a point where our mind begins to transform so we can think that the things that God says are good, and we can actually partake in those things. The enemy has thrown so much distraction and smokescreen the Christians. They can't really accept what is good. What is good? Like, it's hard for a woman, I'm going to say it this way, it's hard for a woman really to respect a man sometimes because she doesn't understand that a man who has walks in confidence and who's strong is actually a good thing. It's actually a good thing. I need to have someone who could stay, who's a buffer and says, nah, we're not doing that. I need to have someone who can lead me. I don't need someone like me. And so today, what you have is you have a lot of women who are trying to raise boys. They're trying to raise boys. And so we got to be in a relationship together, but I'm going to tell you what to do. Hell, you're not telling me what to do. This is why we got in trouble. And this is why we're getting in trouble. We're going to walk like God has called us to walk, and we're going to walk, and you're going to respect me, and I'm going to respect you. But the moment you try to take away my masculinity, then we're going to have a problem. Because now the roles are going to start to be reversed. And God says what takes place is that because men are not strong enough in their own identity, they begin to succumb to the woman because the woman wants to control. And because the woman wants to control, and if you have a controlling woman and the man is not strong, now you have the reverse. The woman has clubbed the man and now is walking. And if you look at it now, this is what you have. You may not see it physically, but if you really look, you're like, oh, man, she's got him. You got to be okay, women, with a strong man. You got to be okay, even if it's a little bit of, I have a little reverence for him, because God has put that person there in your life. It could be your boss. You may not like your boss, but your boss may be the very thing that God has put there so you can heal. Quiet, why? Because half y'all are like, my boss sucks. You need to be around people who are like-minded, who can push you, who can strengthen you. Men, you need to be around men who are strong and like-minded, who can push you and strengthen you. You don't need to be around boys. Stop hanging around kids half your age. Be around men who are strong. You need, and all of a sudden, it'll cause you to rise up. Some people are intimidated about being around people who are strong. And that's a lie that the enemy has thrown at people. I can't be around. He's just too strong. No, it's not on him. It's on you. Maybe God's trying to grow you up. That's why you are where you are. Have you ever thought about that? That's why you are the way you are and where you are. Because God says, this is the only way I can get you to see and grow up. I thank God that I have people in my life, especially Misty, who don't let me get into a codependent state and who don't let me walk around feeling sorry for myself. You know why? Because no one is coming, number one, to rescue you. And if you're waiting for someone to come and rescue you, you're going to be waiting a long time because either A, if that person does come, they're going to fall into your depressing state. And now you're both going to be in a pit. So you need people in your life who could push you and enough of Jesus that Jesus could kick you in your butt and say, get up, get moving, and let's go. I've never had Jesus speak sweetly to me like he speaks to Misty. We've had conversations before about this stuff. We've had conversations about this stuff before. I'm going to preach it. Where Misty said, you know, the Lord spoke to me today about certain things. He did not say anything to me like that over the last few weeks. He does not speak to me the same way he speaks to her. Thank God. Because God wants to deal with you as a man. God wants to deal with you as a woman. Half the time, God's probably confused. But guys, we got to come to grips with who we are. You got to come to grips with the fact that you're not the only one who's had a hard life. Everyone in here has a story. And when you hear the story, it should give you perspective about your life. And it brings you into a form of connection to know that God is the author of this whole thing and that everyone has a story. So I can be okay with your story and be okay with mine. And some of y'all need to come to grips with your story. Because that's part of the issue. We don't like the story, Maria, sometimes, so we don't come to grips with it because we're afraid of what that looks like. The reality of it is that you've had hardship. There's been abuse. There's been abandonment. There's been rejection. That's just life. I've experienced all of them. And so if we can't come to grips with that's our story and God's allowed it, but it's made me who I am today, we will always walk around in shame trying to hide who we really are. Why hide who you really are? Why? Because people might see. They see you anyway. If you get a real strong Christian, they'll see you anyway, even though you hide. You're not the only one. That's why I believe partly why churches are not filled. Because people have a filter lever that they want to press and pull up in order to hide who they really are. And so depending on the filter level is the type of season they're in. So that means that, well, I'm in a good place in my life. I'll go to church because at least I'm happy. I'm happy. But when it gets hard, people step out of the season and say, no, I can't go to church now because I'm going through a hard time. The very place you need to be is in the house around other strong people, strengthening you so that you can stand up in the trial and continue to move on. But the enemy would like nothing more to isolate you and then tell you all about yourself. Have you ever had the enemy tell you all about yourself? Oh, yeah, all about yourself. You're in that season? Here you go, the storyline. You got to say, hold up. I know that maybe how I was. I know that maybe what I did, but that's not who I am. Here's the new story. I'm blood-bought. I'm a child of God. I am above only and not beneath. I've already beaten you about 6 times on this one. That's no longer an issue in my life. I know who my real father is. I know he has good plans for me. I know it may not look like I'm coming out of it, but I'm coming out of it because the Lord said I'm coming out of it. I know that I may not know what the future looks like, but I know who holds the future. And I know that it doesn't matter what you bring into my life, that all things are working together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. I am called according to his purpose because you know why I'm called according to his purpose? You wouldn't be bothering me so much. So I am called according to his purpose. And it doesn't matter what you do. When I come out of it, I'm going to come out of it like pure gold. My faith is going to be so strong that the next time you try to do it, you're going to bounce right off of me. The next time you come up against me, I'll be able to resist you because now I understand how your schemes work. Now I understand what you're trying because that was the old me. That was the old kid. Not anymore. This is the new me made alive in Jesus Christ. It's hard, but you know what? I like it. And until you just start telling them stuff, you'll just take it. And before you know it, you're thinking about changing your identity from Christian to something else. There are many people today, I look at them and I look at their life, and it's more atheistic than it is Christian, even though they call themselves a Christian. The way they live their life doesn't really translate to Jesus being risen and him being Lord. It's more like a buddy when they need someone. You know the buddy when you need someone to call? Hey, I'm in trouble, Jesus. Hey, forgive me for this one. Thank you. And then they go right back on. He's a buddy, he's not Lord. But when it changes from buddy to Lord, it becomes, sir, yes. You don't have time to not walk righteously because of all that Jesus has done for you, because all that he's done for you pushes you toward right living. Why is this all important? Because there is an enemy who is walking about just looking to take someone out. 1 Peter chapter 5. Be alert, no sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a looking for someone to consume. Consume. Whatever happened to so-and-so, kind of fell off the wagon. You know people like that, right? Quote unquote, we're walking with Jesus. Hardship hit. Now when you look at their life, furthest thing you would think, away from Jesus, not professing Jesus. Just look at their Instagram posts. If you ever want to know what's going on in someone's life, just take a look at social media. You cannot be a Christian and post something that's going to defame the name of Jesus and bring you into question. That's the problem. I got to serve Jesus, but then I got to look at your Instagram post, and I don't know. You're not really serving, are you? You invite criticism by what you show. That's why Jesus hides you, Christian, so that when in due time, when you are revealed, it doesn't come into question your character. There are certain things I can't do. because of the platform I have. And nor do I want to face the criticism, number one, that comes from God. Because I want you to think about doing something for God and also wrestling with compromise. I'm not saying not wrestling with stuff and sin. We all do. But, and also inviting the criticism from other people because you're not living right. If you live right, there's a strength that's there and you can buff stuff. But when you're not living right, your immune system is down and it's hard to resist. And the enemy comes in and waves, and it starts bringing that stuff in. Abandonment, childhood stuff, all your stuff just starts bringing them in waves because you're not resisting it, and you can't because your immune system's down. Why? Because one, you're not really submitted to God, because the Bible says when you submit to him, then you resist him, then he can flee. It doesn't say the other way. And submission does not mean I agree with God on the subject. I don't agree with what you're asking me to do. So, submit and you'll see some progress. You'll be able to resist. It doesn't mean I submit when I feel like submitting. That's not, try doing that with your boss. You know what I'm telling you? I've been wanting to tell you for a long time how I feel about you today. That may not be the day to do it. It's not about how you feel, but it's the right thing to do. I submit, I resist, the enemy flees. And that comes in waves. In waves. You're in a good place in your life. You feel like me and Jesus are in a good, it's not an easy place, but you're in a good place. There's peace that's there. It comes in waves. You're submitted. You got to stay submitted. Because the attacks are going to keep coming from every side. Temptation's going to come. Your commitment's going to be tested. Who you say you are is going to be tested. And God's going to bring you before people and test you. Here's your chance. And you know what I'm talking about. God has already done that with some of you. Here's your chance. And you know it. You're there like, oh, here it is. It's there. What are you going to do? Everyone else is talking about, well, you know, last night we had a time. What are you going to do? When identity issues start popping up, people start talking about, yeah, well, I know people and I think it's okay to kind of change and transform. What are you going to do? You're going to sit there and be like, you know, yeah, me too. Yeah, it's kind of cool. Test. Who do you identify as? No, I'm not talking about your bad day identification, because you have different identifications for the bad day. Yeah, I'm a Christian, but you know, I'm... Because sometimes it goes in waves, right? I feel really great being a Christian today, really great. I mean, oh, God's good, right? The next day, hard day. Yeah, I love him, but you're fighting stuff. That one day from the next, the identification can't change. How are we supposed to get any traction? How are you supposed to grow in your relationship with Jesus if day by day we don't know which Christian's going to show up today? Which one? You remember Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz? Lions and tigers and bears, oh my. Lions and tigers and bears, oh my. And this is what a lot of Christians do. They're walking, right? And they get around other people who are just like them. Scared of the same stuff. Fear. Anxiety, emotional distress, oh my. All these things follow them. Because people travel in packs. People get around people who are like them. And sometimes that's the worst thing you can do. You're trying to get healthy. I don't get around sick people. Are your standards too low? You're a Christian. You know it. I'm Christian. But your standards are too low. You're not rolling with people. You're not catching stuff with people who are above you. You've seen God doing the work and consistently walk with them, but you're still trying to hold on to the people who you used to run with, and they're not running like you anymore. That grace season's over. There are people I grew up with I don't even see anymore. Thank God he's taking them out. There are things that God has done emotionally for me that I, to this day, and will thank God for, because of what he's done and how he separated and set me free from certain things and not allowed me to get entangled and tied into people who don't have my best interest in mind and who are not going where I'm going, and they don't understand this grace. If nothing else, when you leave here today, you ought to just thank God for the people he separated you from. Oh, Jesus, the thing that the people who he let just go. Trust me, you might cry now, but later, you're gonna thank me. This Thank God for what he's done in your life. Are your standards too low? Are you not seeing how Jesus sees you? It's perspective. I can identify as a Christian because I know what God has done for me, not just positionally on the cross and what he's done for me in my life, but all the things that God has brought in my life, the blessings that God has brought in my life. How can I spit in his face and say, I don't want the good things of God anymore. I don't want the good plans of God anymore because that tree, that one tree looks good to me. Cut the tree down. Can you afford to go backwards through all the maze of your life? Oh God, now would be the time in your head just to break out in a little praise. Just like, can you go back? Can you afford to go with all that crap that you went through in your life? And you know the stuff that God delivered you from, even some of the stuff he didn't deliver you from, all that stuff, and still stand? No, you can't. It took all that God could do to get you to stand now and pull you through stuff. I identify as a Christian because what Jesus has done for me. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because I know what it has done for me. It is the power of God. It's powerful. It's sharp. It's done something. I don't apologize for it. I don't apologize for it. Why? Because I know what it's done is your issue. It's not mine. And when you walk like that, God says, now we can start moving. Now you can leap over walls. Because you know who Jesus is now. Now it's not about being accepted for you. Rejection is not an issue for you anymore. Dealt with it. Oh man, it's such a good place to be at. And when you continue to walk with Jesus and Maria, for some people as they emotionally get healthy and process through stuff, and they finally get to a place where they don't give about what anybody says because they know who they are, that's where real identification comes in. What you see on my license is who I am. There's not a fake ID, but there are so many people playing with fake IDs. Let's all stand to our feet. You heard the phrase before, that person's just not playing with a full deck. Guess who is playing with a full deck? You. You got the fullness of the Holy Spirit living inside of you. You don't have to get any bigger. He's already there. What he's asking for is more access to you. So he can help you stretch out in areas that you never thought were possible. So you can finally beat, some of that family of origin stuff. You can finally beat what you didn't get. You can finally beat abandonment. Beat it. And finally begin to accept you. Just accept you. Some of y'all today, you just need to ask the Lord, Lord, help me to forgive me. Because if we're not careful, we start to apologize for who we are. Even for some of the stuff that we've done. And the truth is that we've all done it. But God has still made you the way you are and wired you that same way. And there's no need to go on an apology tour. If God has released you from certain seasons and relationships, feel released in Jesus' name and go. And don't look back telling Fei-Fei, hey, sorry. It's one of the reasons why when he says, who the Son sets free, kitty, is free indeed. You don't have to tell anyone. I'm sorry, I just want to ask your permission if I could follow Jesus. We laugh, but how we act is that way. I need your permission to be me. Do you? You need to be in an environment where you can be you. And if that environment is not conducive for you, you need to find out what's up in that environment. I'm not telling kids to leave their parents. This is not for you, minors. But in a case of abuse, it might be a situation. See Maria about that. But anyway, adults, you're a byproduct of your environment. Are you thriving in that environment? Are you bearing fruit in that environment? Are you free to be you in that environment? Or is there something inside of you that you feel like I cannot fully be me? What is it? You got to pinpoint it with the Holy Spirit. I can't help you. Holy Spirit's got to help you. It's an amazing feeling when you know you're free. You can be free and know that there's a God in heaven who does have good plans for you. But I know there are people in this room who don't fully believe that because of how they see themselves and how they see God. Because hard times bring jaded perspective. And so when I pray today, I'm going to pray that God begins to shift your perspective. That the hard times have actually worked for you and made you better than you would have been if you would not have gone through anything. It's actually God's love that has allowed you to go through a little bit of a beating spiritually. Had to take some hits from the enemy. It's actually been good for you. Had to deal with some emotional abuse. It's actually been good for you. Because it's learned to help separate you from the abuse and also separate you and the identity that it caused you to have because of that abuse. The stuff that was stolen from you, there are parts of you that have been stolen that God said, I'm beginning to start to put back together. And when I put them back together, there's going to be such a power and joy that's going to come in because it's going to be right. It's going to be fixed right. And nothing the enemy will do is going to be able to come in and break it again. Oh, that's what God's saying today. When I reset it and when I fix it, God say the enemy will not have an occasion to come in and break what I fixed. I'm going to fix it, he says, so the next time you're in a fight, you're going to see victory. You'll be able to stand up against the schemes of the enemy because it's been fixed. I know you're struggling right now, he said, but it's actually good for you. It's actually building something inside of you that you cannot see. And I'm helping you to understand what it looks like to stand in me. Stand in me and not run. Stand in me. Because when you stand in me, when you don't want to, that's when faith is built. That's when I can do the work that I said I was going to do. And it is a good work. And I'm going to begin to show you that it's a good work. And it's going to cause you to draw closer to me because I am a good father. I do have good plans for you. And you're going to run toward me. You're going to run. Not just run, you're going to leap. There are going to be things that I want to fix in your life that you've said to yourself, why can't I get over this area? Why can't I fly? There's something that's holding me down. And God said, I'm about to fix it in Jesus' name. I'm going to fix it. And you're going to start to flap and fly. And you're going to soar. Yes. And there are going to be things in your life that you're going to do that are going to amaze you. Because the spirit that I put inside of you does not make you timid. There are doors I'm about to open in your life and in you that you have not seen because they have been hidden. But as you submit to me and as you continue to walk, I'm going to begin to blow open these doors. And I'm going to inflate your life so that you begin to rise up above circumstances. And you'll begin to see like I see. And when you see like I see, nothing that the enemy causes you to see is going to distract you. Because I am he who was and is to come. And I am greater than him. In Jesus' name.